and be made whole.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
It's a new day if you want it to be. Hi, I'm Rhett Palmer, and today we're talking with Pastor Terrell Rowland. Am I saying your name right?
Yes, sir, you are.
And it's hugministries.com, H-U-G-G, ministries.com. Is that because you couldn't get the one G, so you got the two Gs?
That's right. Well, God gave me the name back in 1993, Healed Under God's Graces. And everybody called me, as I pastored at Dunklin, and they called me the hugging preacher because during our love offering, the first thing I would do would have everybody get up and hug somebody. So it just all fit together when we decided to branch out and start the inner healing ministries outside of Dunklin in the churches.
H-U-G-G. Well, it's amazing. H-U-G-G. It's amazing how many people I didn't realize till I was an older man and I was watching a movie of a little boy being read to in bed. And I thought it was so touching. And then all of a sudden I realized late in life, I thought, wow, nobody ever did that to me when I was a child. And I remember one time my grandmother of my father's side patted me on the leg. And I went through my whole life thinking she was weird because she did that. Well, now as an older man,
for all of Florida beginning at 7 a.m. and ending at 9 a.m. A Florida Amber Alert has been issued for Judge Saunders, a white male, 5 years old, 3 feet tall, 55 pounds, brown hair and brown eyes, last seen in the area of the 1000 block of Rose Avenue in Tavares, Florida. He was last seen wearing a long sleeve black shirt with a multicolored graphic and dark-colored pajama pants. The child may be in the company of Kelly Davisova, a white female, 5 feet 2 inches tall, 120 pounds, brown hair and brown eyes. They may be traveling in a black Honda Accord. If located, do not approach. Contact law enforcement immediately. If you have any information on the whereabouts of this child, please contact the Tavares Police Department at 3-5-2-3-4-3-2-1-0-1-911. Pound Flinder.
And our support comes from the people we counsel, the classes we teach, and by individual giving and people just supporting us out of their own goodness and nature.
Wonderful. Now, you and your wife have Hug Ministries. Explain to people about Dunklin, though. Dunklin is a place where it's for men only, isn't it?
Well, Dunklin itself works for the entire family. But the men actually live there for 10 months.
10 months.
If in the regen program, they've extended it to a year for some cases. Once a man finishes the 10-month program, he can go into stage two and move into a halfway house and work in our industries and save money to move on. And then can get into a training program, which is another year long where they go back to the program as student teachers and learn to do what we do the way we do it. And then they go on staff training for another year. So a man coming off the streets within 3.5 years can be trained to be staff at any recovery program in America.
That's fantastic. You know, Penny Cook is a friend of mine. She's an author. She wrote a book on prayer. But her son, she prayed for her son, who was involved in many addictions, for 14 years straight. I mean, I think he went to prison. I know he was addicted to all kinds of stuff, whether it's cocaine, heroin, alcohol. And obviously after 14 years, you know, you kind of think there's no hope for the guy, but she was steadfast in her prayer. Nothing like a mama's prayer or grandma's prayer or grandfather's prayer. And she prayed for her son for 14 years. Well, he ended up at Dunklin, and he ended up staying there. And then he ended up going to Australia to go to become a pastoral school, Bible study and Bible school. And then he ended up, he's now a preacher with a church in Australia with a wife and children. And it shows you the miracles that can happen with the power of prayer.
Yes, sir. And I believe I remember the individual you're talking about.
Yeah, Penny Cook's son. It's just amazing. He was in the studio where you are somewhere over the past year, and it was a phenomenal interview. But I just love it when the Lord takes hopeless people, and he seems to really enjoy taking those. I'm sorry. Lately, I've been having a problem with stuff getting caught in my throat. The Lord seems to take great joy in taking people that are hopeless, broken, contrite. He says, the broken and contrite heart, he will not despise. The bruised reed, he will not break. The smoldering candle, he will not snuff out. So just when you think, I'm at the bottom, I have nothing to give to God, certainly you don't want me, and I have nothing I can give you back. He doesn't even bring to remembrance the things you did wrong. He said, all right, now I can begin to work with you. Let's wipe the slate clean and a new beginning. And he'll do that for anybody, right, Pastor?
Yes, sir. And, you know, Rhett, we find that all addicts have to come to a bottom before they can start reaching back up, because they have to run out of themselves. And they have to run out of the resources that they can get from other people through codependent-type relationships. But it's not the only people on this planet, Rhett, that have to find that place. The churches today are full of those people that have come to a place of hopelessness, come to a place of depression, come to a place of not knowing what they're going to do next, wondering why they never go anywhere in life. They get caught in cycles of defeat. And that's why
cycles of defeat, yes.
They always, in the circus, they used to have the golden ring that you could reach and grab, and if you grab the golden ring, then you won a prize. Well, in our life, a lot of people keep reaching for that golden ring, and they never quite reach it. They never get the prize of living the fullness of God in Christ Jesus that God intended them to be made. We were born, when God breathed the breath of life into our mother's womb, he created us with a purpose and for a purpose, and already knew why he created us. We either believe that, or we believe Jesus sits up there with the Father, and he goes, hey, Jesus, you know what? I think I'm going to make another knucklehead today. You want to see what turns out? But that's not what he does. He has a purpose and a plan for our life. He has a job. He has a career for us to live in the kingdom of God. That's why we were created. But the enemy knows that too, Rhett. And he does everything he can do as we're children to rob us from that purpose, by helping us develop a faulty belief system. You know, by the age of 12, we've already developed our core belief systems about who we are, how we relate to ourselves, how we relate to other people and authorities, and how we relate to God. And we develop that belief system by the environment we're raised in and by the people that teach us. And like you said yourself, that touch thing that you went through, not being able to be touched, it was strange for you, and that we need hugs. Well, people need love. People need correction. People need a lot of things to grow up. But part of what they have to do as they're moving on in their Christianity and growing up in Christ is that they have to confront that faulty belief system they grew up in. And a lot of that is developed through rejection issues, abandonment issues, sexual abuse issues, you know, personally. I got saved, and I grew up in a very abusive home. My father was an addict. My grandfather was a drunk. My grandmother was the only saving grace my family had by taking me to church. And she sent me to summer Bible camp in Chickasaw State Park in Tennessee. It was a Church of God camp. And it was there that I met Christ. It was there that I met him face to face. And the encounter I had with Christ at camp, it was like, nothing but liquid love was poured all over me. For the first time in my life, I felt like life was going to be okay outside of the abuse in my home.
This was a supernatural experience.
Absolutely, it was.
And now, tell us, I want to know the details. Where were you? How did this happen? Because I had the same thing happen to me. I was woken up in the night, and I know about that love. I was totally filled with love, and it was amazing. Tell me about your experience. I'm excited to hear about this.
Well, this is summer camp, and there was this one guy at camp that he had polio. And back then, they had to wear those metal braces like you see on TV Forrest Gump was wearing, the stainless steel braces. And he couldn't play ball with us. He couldn't swim with us. But he had such a sweet spirit. And I was really connected to him because I couldn't understand how someone with that kind of affliction could have such a great attitude. I mean, I didn't grow up having that kind of great attitude.
Yeah.
So every night we would have a campfire and we would have a prayer meeting at the end of every day. And we would pray for one another. And I grew up in a Pentecostal environment where I seen people get healed at my grandmother's church. I seen men walk up with broke legs, walk away unbroken. I seen a lot of miracles happen. I seen people healed of cancer. I seen, you know, as a child, I just believed in the healing power of God. And I wanted to see God heal this boy. Now, he was the same age as me, but I just wanted to see him have to run with us, play with us, swim with us. I mean, he'd sit on the bench and cheer us on. He'd sit on the dock as we swam and cheer for us. And you know, so one night I kept bugging him. I said, man, you know, Jeff, you need to go up and get prayed for. He goes, oh, no, man, God made me this way. I said, God may have made you that way, but God doesn't mean to leave you that way. Go up and get prayed for. So finally I bugged him enough. He just went up to get prayed for, I think, out of aggravation. You know, I was persistent. But that night, we laid hands on him. And I remember, as we prayed for him, something began to happen in me. For the first time in my life, I wanted something for somebody else more than I wanted it for myself. That selfishness and self-centeredness and that I had grew up in and the self-protectedness kind of melted away. And my concern was seeing this boy have fun with us and to know the Lord. And nothing really happened to him that night. We went back to our cabins, and I asked the counselors to let me sleep in the bunk with him. So they let me take my sleeping bag over to his cabin. And all night long, I'd take my flashlight, and I'd shine it at Jeff. And I'd go, Jeff, you're going to walk in the morning. Jeff, you're going to walk. And he would say, shut up, leave me alone, let me go to sleep. And I'd give it a few more minutes, and I'd hit him that light again. Jeff, are you ready to walk? Sometime early in the morning, around 3 or 4 o'clock, just before the bell went off for us to go to breakfast, I heard a noise, and I woke up and looked, and Jeff was standing next to me, without his braces, without his crutches, on his two legs.
What happened?
Well, Jeff walked up to the counselor's office and told him what happened. His parents come and got him. And Jeff left there without his braces or his crutches. God healed him.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Come on, you.